Hello and welcome to this look behind the curtain for Corey's GM turn for A Couple of Drakes game, Court of Blades. Now that you've seen us create our characters and our coterie, it's time for Corey to build the world around us. I could go into more detail about what that entails, but, well, I think they do a much better job of it than I could. So, without further ado, I'll pass this over to them.
Hello and welcome back to Just Roll With It. If this is your first time with us, we're an anthology tabletop RPG actual series where we try to get around to all of those games that we just haven't had a chance to pick up yet. Right now, we are in the middle of our Court of Blades game, and this is the GM turn. It's just me today. Hi, if we haven't met yet, I'm Corey, or the Invulnerable Tide, and I will be attempting to be entertaining and informative while I run through this GM prep all on my own here, because this is kind of prep. This is kind of a peek behind the curtains, so to speak. I'm going to be setting up the rival houses for our Skylarks, so they have some interesting people to slam against in their quest to get House Bastion to the top of the heap, and I'll be making an initial world state for them to inhabit. Now, for those of you familiar with other Forged in the Dark games, you might be a little confused right now. Other Forged in the Dark games have clocks in which the GM fills in as the players race through the world, helping and hindering factions as they may, you know, goals for the factions around the players that are they're trying to achieve. And it informs all sorts of fun things going on in the background. Court of Blades takes it a step further for the other house's major, in a kind of Stars Without Number style turn at the end of each social season. So the GM, me in this case, has what is hopefully an easier time keeping track of all the clocks, as well as all the conspiracy, backbiting, and shadow warfare among the houses. So, there's a nice little checklist at the back of the book, thank goodness, choosing strengths for the non-NPC houses major, choosing an order that the other NPC houses major are in the Esseltare, and, you know, figuring out who's currently the prince of the whole city, assigning the right spheres of influence to the house's major based on their positions within the Esseltare, and then figuring out long-term objectives for each of the NPC houses. There's also figuring out the first dossier, but I think I'm going to keep that quiet, just so that y'all have something to come back to. So let's actually start with figuring out the ranking of each of the houses within the Esseltare. Of course, our player characters, House Bastion, are at tier 2. They are the 6th house in the Esseltare, and thus the ones without, well, the ones with the least amount of power in this clan of nobles. Everyone else has more political power than they do, and thus more pull over the city. So we get to figure out who's on the top of the heap. The other houses, besides Bastion, of course, are Corvetto, the Majestic Tyrants, Battaglia, which is an old house of martial valor, Lavelle, the gossip mongers of wealth and taste, the Elmari, a tower of spit and spite, originally mercenaries from far away, who became so good at playing the great game that they codified themselves into a house all their own. And House Alanda, the fist around the heart and trade, a merchant house that has grown so powerful, they too have become nobles. So I think, to me it makes the most sense for Corvetto, the oldest house and most established house within the city, to be at the very top. And we are using Roll20 for this. They just came out, the Drakes just came out with these beautiful Court of Blades sheets for Roll20. So we've moved over there from using sort of doctored Blades sheets. And there's even a lovely little GM page to make this so much easier on me. Now I don't have to try and use a Word document and fumble all over the place. So I think Corvetto is going to be at the top of the heap. Their prince is the one who's going to be in charge of the city, the one who's making all of the actual decisions. They are mysterious, tyrannical, and incredibly feared. So it makes sense to me that their prince would be the one who is the best at playing the great game, that they would have the most political power right now, anyway. So as they are the first house, they are tier 5. Just one step beneath the Grand Council themselves. Now who else for the next tier? I was sort of torn between Lavelle and Alanda. Money, as we all know, is very much power, but so is information, so is knowledge. And House Lavelle does make it their business to know everything about everyone. So I think for me it makes sense to make them the second house, which will make them tier 4 in this case. And Alanda, I think, is not too terribly far behind. Being the third house in the Alanda, being the third house in the Esseltare, that will also make them tier 4. The fourth and the fifth house. Now, Battaglia is the watchtower of Illyrian. They did win freedom for Illyrian in the last war. They are noble and vigilant and honorable, and I'm sure that they are very well liked among the people. Which I'm... Unfortunately, the goodwill of the commoners isn't as powerful as information or establishment or money, but I think it's enough to get them to the fourth house. Which will make them tier 3. Which leaves, finally, the Elmari, which I think makes sense. They're foreigners. They're not as well established. Their martial prowess isn't as pronounced as Battaglia's. They are great at bringing in supplies and to Illyrian and, you know, bringing interesting things and exciting new stuff from all corners of the world into Illyrian, but that's just not enough to translate to political power, I think. So that will make them the fifth house, and also tier 3. Alright, we have updated our faction list, which is also a lovely little addition to the Court of Blades sheets. Those of you familiar with playing Blades in the Dark on Roll20 know how useful this can be. So I've got all of the factions laid out in front of me, their tiers, and their status with our Skylarks, which will be very, very useful in the coming planning of dossiers and, what are they called in this game? Errands. Now, we've got our status figured out for each of the houses major. Now, because the houses major have a bit more complex mechanics than your typical Blades in the Dark or Forged in the Dark faction, they have more codified stats. Each house has 3 stats. Reach, which will be rolled when they undertake an action that leverages or expands their sphere of control. Grasp, which is rolled when they try to undertake an action to take new territory or protect their own. And Slight, when they undertake an action that must be secret. I love the imagery of that being like a hand, reaching out to grab something, trying to hold on to something, or performing a little bit of sleight of hand. So each house has that codified already. Corvetto has 2 reach, 0 grasp, 1 slight. Lavelle has 0 reach, 1 grasp, 2 slight. Alanda has 1 reach, 0 grasp, 2 slight. Battaglia has 1 reach, 2 grasp, 0 slight, which I think makes sense. They're not exactly the sneakiest of houses. Elmari has 2 reach, 1 grasp, 0 slight. Now that we've gotten that all written down on our GM turn sheet, we can decide what their strengths are. So like House Bastion, each house has two strengths to them. House Bastion has transport automatically, and our characters decided that they will also have intelligence. So now I get to decide what everybody else is good at. The strengths again are intelligence, magic, wealth, transport, force, and supply. Corvetto starts with magic, Battaglia with force, Lavelle with intelligence, Almari with supply, Alanda with wealth. So now, I feel like with Corvetto so entrenched within the city, while they have magic, they have that old power, I think that they also have wealth. It makes sense for the prince at the top of the Esseltare to have very deep pockets indeed. It's probably what helps keep them at the top. Wealth isn't something I think I want everybody to have. I think having a few of the higher up houses, I think having Lavelle have a dearth of wealth, despite the fact that they have a very wide-reaching net to grasp information, could be very interesting. That means they're going to be scrambling for wealth to pay their contacts, pay bribes. They'll be a little bit desperate, which I think makes for an interesting character. So not supply, I don't think. Giving them magic might be interesting, because that could give a shadow to how another way of for them to gain such intelligence. They could have spirits and other things in their employ. Transport could be interesting, because then they have a way of getting people into even the, or to all parts of the city. I don't know what they would do with supply, and force doesn't seem very Lavelle, but I think magic. I think Lavelle is going to end up with intelligence and magic. Alanda? They probably have force, I think. They've got mercenaries under their employ that, with all of that wealth, you're able to buy quite a few swords. So Alanda ends up with wealth and force. So we've used... I think I'm going to give Almari transport, because they are the house that is the, they're made up of people who are from far away, who are not from this city. So they're probably used to transporting things. And that would leave, I think, I'm sure that you don't have to keep the strengths separate. I'm sure that they can overlap. But I think right now it's more interesting to me if everyone has, like, one thing overlapping rather than more. It would be very easy to make them all very wealthy. But, like I said, I think that'll be more interesting if some people are grasping for wealth as well as power. That would give Battaglia access to supply. I wonder how they got access to supply. They're the old, noble, stuffy... soldier's house. What supply or cash did they happen upon? I find that really interesting. Let's write that in. Okay. So we've decided each house's strength. Next, I believe that means we have to decide on their spheres of influence. So there are 20 spheres of influence a noble house might have in Ilrien. Our Skylarks, if you have listened to the previous coterie creation, chose the plaza for House Bastion. So that's out of the running. Nobody else gets the plaza. Everybody else has to do without access to Soroya, our beautiful leader of cats. So I get to decide which major house controls what. The first house in this case gets 6 spheres of influence, one of which must be the palace because they are the prince of the city. They're the ones who are controlling everything. They get the palace. The second house gets 5 spheres of influence. The third gets 4. The fourth gets 3. The fifth gets 2 spheres of influence. And so these spheres are going to tell us a lot about not only the house's interests, but their power base. So these, and you know, how they're going to be, what they're going to be going after next, what sort of resources they really do have at their disposal. These spheres include the arsenal, the twist, the grand gate, the docks, the plaza, which we already know is controlled by our house bastion, the granary, the banks, the theater, the artist quarter, the trader's gate, the arbor, the silk, the palace, the university, the market, the necropolitan hill, the foreign quarter, the temples, the garden, the canals, and the watch. I think it already makes sense that the watch should be in control, or be controlled by House Corvetto. House Corvetto is the tyrants, ACAB, the watch belongs to them. I'll just shove that in the additional notes section of the Houses of the Elsitari sheet. And I think it also makes sense to me that the silk would belong to House Lavelle. Because House Lavelle is, again, the house of whispers and intelligence. And what better place to get information than lifted from the pillows of the courtesans of Ilrian? Pillow talk is, well, a city can sink and rise on pillow talk. Again, the Elmari are the foreign interests, so it makes sense to me to give them the foreign quarter. But that means there's still so much else to look through. Let's go through the remaining spheres one by one and see which one makes the most sense for each. For those of you following along at home, spheres of influence detailed are on page 180, at least of the PDF that's in front of me right now. So the arsenal. Old as the city, made of the same milky white stone as the city walls, an imposing military structure as defensible as any of Illyrian's towers. It served as the Dread Emperor's palace at one point. This has got to belong to Battaglia, right? Battaglia's got force. Battaglia's just as old as Corvetto. They defended the city previously, so it makes sense that they would have the arsenal in their supply. And you know what? Sometimes it's okay to go with the obvious thing. It'll make the other interesting places a little bit more surprising when it does happen. So that's the arsenal out of the way. The twist. It is a seedy and dangerous section of Ilrian. Everyone here is a wolf in one stripe or another. It has its own code of conduct that should be observed with care, governed largely by cutthroat crime bosses, with the watch rarely stepping foot in it. The only way through the Trader's Gate is through the twist. Interesting. I'm currently reading The Lies of Locke Lamora, which I know is a fairly big influence on Court of Blades. And in The Lies of Locke Lamora, there is a secret, well, they call it the secret peace, an agreement between the nobles of the city and the gangs of the city that the watch and the nobles are not to be messed with. You're not allowed to pickpocket them, break into their homes, etc. It would be a bad thing if all the merchants and the poorer people of the city knew about it, but that's why it's called the secret peace, isn't it? So I think it would be incredibly interesting to me if Corvetto, with all of their magic and wealth and their influence over the city watch, also had their claws in the twist. There's something in the twist, not only this, maybe this secret leveraging this balancing act between the roughest parts of the city and the shiniest, smoothest. But there might be something in the twist that Corvetto wants to keep hidden. I'll have to think on that. Next is the Grand Gate. It is the primary point of entrance to the city and where the White Road ends. It's a massive structure built to impress and impose in equal measure. The gate is manned at all hours of the day and night, and it can take hours to get through during festivals. So this is the big egress into the city. This is, if you're not coming in through the Trader's Gate, this is where you enter. It's, I believe, right next to the plaza. Yes, there's the White Road. There's the Grand Gate. We have a lovely little map that we got as part of being Kickstarter's, backers to the Kickstarter. And just figuring out where everything is has been kind of fun for me. So the Grand Gate. Who would have access to all of that money coming in through the Grand Gate, the taxes? I think Alanda, that makes the most sense. We'll give them the Grand Gate. And I think next is the docks. Home to more than just moors on pristine waters. There's a stretch of the city abutting them that is home to an array of businesses. From fishmongers to bohemian merchant shops set up for the low cost and relative safety of the area. Sailors with ocean water for blood favor living at the docks to remain near their lady's hand. We'll just give that to the Elmari. Or do we want to give it to Alanda? Lavelle, I'm sure there's plenty of information to be had. And if I... If I give it to the Elmari, then the Elmari can't have anything else. I think provisionally I'm going to give it to Lavelle. But I can't think of anything good for the Elmari lair. I'll shift that. The plaza belongs to House Bastien. The granary. These consist of large round buildings made of interlocking clay bricks, the largest of which houses the city's grain stores. Security at the granary is maintained at high readiness, but very few have any desire to visit the site unless there's a severe drought or a crop failure, and then it's all the rage. This is where the city's grain is stored. This is incredibly important, especially if something were to happen to the city. Like a blight on the outside, rising grain prices. It's not very interesting until it becomes incredibly interesting. For right now, I think, we'll give that to Alanda. We'll give that to Alanda, because that just makes sense to me. And if I find myself wanting to give something else to the Alanda, more than what they currently have or allowed, then I will have to shift that. The banks! Oh gosh, below the banks of brass and bone, there are several smaller banks catering to a host of different financial needs. At the end of the day, most still answer to the Bank of Blood and Bone. It is fortunate that they are all co-located, seeing as Ilrien would likely bounce between at least three of them before finding the right person for their needs. Whew. I don't think I want to give it to Alanda because that would be too... Corvetto? I mean... Them being allied with the Bank of Blood and Bone, who are against our little Skylarks, would make sense. Yeah, let's give that to the banks. We'll give the banks to Corvetto for now. The theater. A theater. One of the rare places of Ilrien, where the upper echelons of the nobility and the common classes mix. Granted, first showings are typically at the exclusion of common folk, and even when the shows are open to all, the boxes are cost prohibitive to most. All the same, they do inhabit the same grand rooms. Cool. And the theater is where our dear chalet, where Fia has her vice. So who has control of her vice purveyor? This strikes me as Lavelle. I think I'm going to give it to Lavelle. And the artist's quarter, filled with lofts and open shared courtyards, days here are filled with creating, while the nights are filled with performing. This is a deeply bohemian section of the city. The people are warm and inviting. Where those who are perhaps too inviting. A starving artist is just as concerning as any other starving person. Who would it be interesting to give the artist quarter to? Lavelle, maybe. Alanda, perhaps. Corvetto, they are old and entrenched and very powerful. Having control of the artists means that you have control, you know, you're patronizing them, you can push them to creating certain things. Propaganda is easier to create. Yeah, I think Corvetto. For now. The Trader's Gate. Located on the southern end of the city and nestled firmly in the Twist, the Trader's Gate was built initially as a quick way to move the dead to the Necropolitan Hill. But of course, it became very popular with smugglers and thieves. When the uprising against the Dread Emperor came, it was the gate used by insurgents. It was at this time it became known as the Traitor's Gate. The tramps are the ones who currently have power over it. And it is home to all manner of things wishing not to be found. Mercenary, a fortune teller, a poisoner. It is right next to the foreign quarter, if I recall. Or no, that was the Twist. Never mind. And it's the only other way into the city. Battaglia seems too upright to have any interest in the Traitor's Gate. The Almari probably wouldn't like the associations with it. Lavelle wouldn't care, and of course, hiding things is kind of their thing. Yeah, let's give that to, or, you know, ferreting out hidden things. Let's give that to Lavelle. Oh gosh. Lavelle has quite a lot of things. They only get one more. I'm gonna have to shift something if I want to give them something else. The arbor, where Samuel's rival resides. Several acres of meticulously cared after grapes, grapevines, and pomegranate trees compose the arbor. It is looked after by the Arborist Guild, which personally vets and chooses every employee working there. Among the superstitious, it is known as a hotspot for spirits and sprites. Alanda would make a lot of sense. Can't quite wrap my brain around the Almari getting it. Let's give it to the Alanda. It makes quite a lot of sense. And now the Alanda are only one away from being full. The silk we've already decided belongs to Lavelle. The palace belongs to Corvetto. The palace, which is the highest point in Ilrion, boasting a commanding view of the city from its southern window. It is palatial and ostentatious, made more decadent by every new prince who wishes to leave their mark. It is, however, property of the city, and the ultimate prize for any house of the Esultare. Unfortunately, we are doing a very short turn, so I doubt our little Skylarks will even get House Bastion to Tier 2, or to, in this case, they are already at Tier 2. We'll get them to the 5th house. Alas, but that would be quite a feat. Next is the university. Sprawling grounds and several large buildings comprise the university, one of the finest academic compounds in the modern world. The sciences and the arcane studies are both exhaustively pursued in these halls. The Scholium Naturalis of Illyrian is also located here. Outside, an outdoor theater gives public lectures and speeches to any with an interest in hearing. Citizen-facing politics, debates, and discussions are often played out here. That's got to go to Lavelle. That's, if there's arcane bullshit happening here, or ooh, do I want it to happen to Lavelle, or do I want them to have... Part of me wants to give them the Necropolitan Hill, because that's where... That's where I think, if I remember correctly, the last... What's it called? The Last Deathless, which there isn't a lot of information about in the book, but the Last Deathless sleeps under the Necropolitan Hill, and I think it would be very interesting indeed if the Lavelle were invested in keeping that. In either studying it or keeping it quiet, keeping that deathless sleeping. So I'm going to give that to them, but that would put them at 5. I think Battaglia is getting the short end of the stick here. I think I'm going to give Battaglia the docks and then give Lavelle the university. And that will be their 5. So Lavelle right now has the Silk, the theater, the Traitor's Gate, the Necropolitan Hill, and the University. That makes sense to me. Corvetto has the Palace, the Watch, the Twist, the Banks, and the Artist Quarter. And can have one more. Alanda also can have one more. Battaglia can have one more. And Almari gets one more. The Market. Oh, that has to belong to the Almari. They're the ones bringing... All sorts of interesting things from all over the world. With supply and transport? Oh, the market's theirs. They might be eking in on wealth. Or should it go to Alanda? Wouldn't it be interesting if a foreign or a more foreign house had control of the granary? Wouldn't that cause some friction? I like that idea. We're going to give the granary to Almari and give the market to Alanda, which gives us the temples, the garden, and the canals left. The temples. Ooh, I can see all sorts of interesting things belonging to each of that. Battaglia has force and supply and has one left. Alanda has wealth and force and has 2 left. Corvetto has magic and wealth and 1 left. It would make sense for the Corvetto... great patrons of Illyrian to have control of the garden, of course, but it also makes sense for them to have canals and be in... Or the temples. All 3 of them make absolute sense. Let's give... I think with the wealth... Let's make Alanda the patrons of the temples. The more upstart merchant house having such sway with the lady would definitely cause some friction with Corvetto. I'll give the canals to Battaglia. Because they're the lifeblood of Illyrian. And of course, Battaglia, who is who cares about keeping the city safe and all the people in it would care about keeping the canals moving. How did they get their hands on the canals? Usually they care not for money. But foreigners, citizens, and nobility alike all use the canal to travel the city with ease. They've probably been cracking down on regulations and whatnot for the gondoliers, and there's probably some unrest there. So that makes the Almari, the Battaglia, the Londa, and Lavelle. So yes, Corvettos get the garden. With its meticulously cared for statuary and formal gardens, ponds, terraces, fussed after roses, and espaliered fruit trees? I actually don't know what that word means. I'm gonna look it up. Espaliered? Oh, espalier, a fruit tree or ornamental shrub whose branches are trained to grow flat against a wall. Interesting, like climbing ivy. Okay. So, trees and fruit that climb. Small plazas are set up in reserved areas for the nobility, private guards glaring away the rabble. Of course, the nobility don't care to have the commoners spoiling their afternoons. It's a favorite place to conspire and negotiate for some. For others, it's a place of respite or inspiration. The great playwright Imani wrote several of their finest sonnets in these public gardens. Oh, and with Corvetto being patrons of the arts, it only makes sense for them to also be patrons of the garden. Look at them. They care so much about the city. So much about making this city beautiful and livable for everyone. All right, that is all of them. Corvetto has wound up with the palace, the watch, the twist, the banks, the artist's quarter, and the garden. Lavelle has the silk, the theater, the Traitor's Gate, the Necropolitan Hill, the university. Alanda has the Grand Gate, the Arbor, the Market, and the Temples. Battaglia has wound up with the arsenal, the docks, and the canals, while the Almari have the foreign quarter and the granary. Now let me check my cheat sheet here. Now that our houses are figured out, we've decided what their status is, we know what their stats are, we know what their strengths are, and we know where their power is located, what they can draw on. It is now time to figure out house objectives. I think for such a short campaign, we're probably only going to do like two or three errands, probably not even a full social season. We only need a long-term objective for each house. Luckily, I don't have to come up with all of these on my own. The Drakes were so kind as to put tables in the back of the book for me to roll on if I were so inclined. There are reach clocks, grasp clocks, and slight clocks of 6 parts and 8 parts. Maybe I'll give them 2. We'll see. There are also objectives based on resources. Alright, let's start with a clock for Corvetto. It makes sense to me that they might... Do I want to just roll? And then see what the dice say? I think I kind of do. Yeah, you know what? I've decided we're going to do 2 long-term objectives for each of them. 1 a 6-part and 1 a 8-part. I think for Corvetto, it makes sense that they don't want to reach as much anymore. They probably, even though their grasp isn't as strong. Those in power are always terrified that their power is going to be taken away from them. But of course, they always have avarice for more than they currently have. They are wealthy, and they are magically powerful as well as politically powerful. I think I will give them a grasp clock and a reach clock. I think a 6-part grasp clock Force a weakness. I like that idea. They have all the power. Of course they want to force somebody's weakness. So we go in. They have a great part on the page for this. 6 o'clock. Grasp. Force a weakness. And I think they're probably using their wealth here. So are they forcing a weakness on another house, on a minor house, investment, an exotic commodity, an art, charity, or party? Or do they want to do their magic? Ooh, wouldn't it be interesting if they were using magic on somebody to try and force somebody to do something? Maybe some kind of ritual or some kind of blackmail. I think they're not best pleased that the Elmari have power over the granary like this. I think maybe putting pressure on a weakness of the Elmari with their being less entrenched in the city, being probably a little bit distrusted by more native Illyrians. Them having the granary definitely doesn't sit well. Or maybe it's just staking a claim on the granary. This is always the hardest part for me, coming up with stuff that people want to do. Ooh, the granary and the arbor are in the same area. Interesting. They're both in the vine. The Baker's Guild is a faction of the holding. This definitely makes the Elmari popular with the houses minor, as bread is a magic all its own. It would be interesting if the Corvetto were to somehow start rumors or force something about grain prices going up, or that the grain within the stores aren't good. And I suppose that the houses don't always have to use their strengths, just like they don't always have to use the stats that they're good at. Just like with characters in any Forged in the Dark game, they're all competent. They're all clearly good at this, otherwise the Corvetto still wouldn't be on the top. There are just things working against them in this case. That would be interesting, though. Counterfeit bread definitely used to be a thing. People would cut bread or cut flour with sawdust and stuff. So, you know, in Rome, they used to have to stamp bread to make sure that you're actually getting a right amount of flour. Like, this is actually bread, not just sawdust baked into a cake. So it'd be interesting if they were trying to counterfeit something. We'll do a 6-part grasp clock. Stake a claim. Using supply. Counterfeit. All right. I will flesh that out later. And then I will also give them an 8-part reach clock, I think. Oh, there it is. There's acquired a contested territory right there. So let's change that, actually. So we'll make that acquire the contested territory with supply and with counterfeiting. And then we'll go back. You know what? I'm just going to roll for it. 3. Secure border. With. And it's so nice that they have everything in sixes, so I can just roll for a resource too. With magic, secure a border with magic. Yeah, I'm going to be here all evening if I try and think myself through. So you know what? Let's just roll, and I can do the fun part, making this all make sense off screen. So it's all exciting for you guys when you finally listen to the game. Two. With an artifact, they're going to secure a border with a magic artifact. Do they already have that artifact? Do they have to steal it from somebody? Is this the body parts of KOTOR all over again? I guess we're going to find out. Okay, Corvetto taken care of. Let's see for Lavelle. They are doing a 6-part grasp clock. They are the ones forcing a weakness right now, and Lavelle's better at grasping than Corvetto is, so maybe they'll have better luck. They are also trying... Oh, they're doing that with wealth, which is not their strong suit, but maybe that means they need to raise funds for this. Because they're doing it with wealth, they're forcing a weakness with an investment. Maybe this has something to do with the current rivalry that's being stoked between the Bank of Blood and Bone and the... Gosh, what are they called again? And the Fortunato Trade Federation, which are friendly with our Skylarks. So that might be interesting. Okay, second clock for Lavelle. 6-part reach clock. They are trying to undercut the competition. Interesting, probably with Corvetto in this case. Using supply. Oh, they've got, you know what? I'm going to fudge that. They're the magic house. I'm going to let them, or they're the magic house in my brain with intelligence and magic. I feel like they've got to be using magic if they're going to undercut the Corvetto. And they've got a knack they're using to undercut the competition. Ooh, maybe a knack they've got, already wormed in the Corvetto house. Maybe some kind of mole. Ooh. Now for the Alanda, our merchants. That is a 8-part grasp clock. The Alanda aren't very good at grasping things either, but it wouldn't be as fun if you only did things you were good at. They're trying to disrupt a supply line. With force, which is something they are good at. And defending. How are they using defense to disrupt a supply line? That's something I'm going to have to consider. For their second clock. I think it's a good idea to have 2 clocks, because then I can decide which one makes sense if I don't want to do them both. That's an 8-part reach clock. They're better at reach. And they're using supply. For 8-part reach clock. They are trying to gain an important contact. They are using wealth, of course. And are throwing a party to gain an important contact. Oh, that'll be a... Maybe that will be our... Maybe that will be our ball. I did promise my lovely players a ball. I'm going to have to see if I can deliver on that. All right. For Battalia, they have a 6-part grass clock. They are trying to force a weakness. Makes sense. I see the Battalia as a bit of a pop instrument. They're using supply, which they are good at. Fashion. Oh gosh. I wonder how Battalia are able to use a currently fashionable object or currently fashionable line of clothing or something that every noble has to have this season to force someone's weakness. Oh gosh. For their second clock, it is a 6-part reach. They're trying to undercut the competition. Using intelligence. And Battalia's blackmailing someone? Oh gosh. Battalia's blackmailing someone? To undercut the competition? Oh, something happened. I need to know what the heck that is. Finally, the Almari have a... We finally have a slight clock, which is funny because the Almari are not good at slight. That is a 6-part slight clock. Slight clock. They're trying to expose a weakness with force. Interesting. By intimidating someone. I don't think that's going to go well for them, but we'll see. And finally, their last clock. A 8-part grasp clock. They're trying to disrupt a supply line. Oh, we already have one of those. I like punish a transgression better. Punish a transgression better. Using supply. Makes sense. Counterfeit. I don't like that. Something unique. They're trying to punish transgression as something unique. That makes more sense. Okay. So each of our NPC houses now have 2 long-term objectives. I might cut those out. I'm going to have to figure out how to make them make sense for our world, but yeah, we're going to have to figure out the world state. There, of course, have questions to consider. Who's behind what? Why they're doing all of this? What investment the Lavelle are trying to get to force somebody's weakness? Who they're trying to force a weakness on? All of that. And that, I think, is something I'm going to have to do on my own. So, all right. We have chosen the strengths for the NPC houses. We have chosen the order for the NPC houses majors in the Esseltare. I will have to name the prince, the Corvetto, who is in charge of Illyrian at some point. We have assigned the appropriate number of spheres of influence to the houses major based on their position within the Esseltare. We have chosen, rolled up, the long-term objectives for each of the NPC houses major. Next, all there is for me to do is to create a dossier of tasks requiring the attention of our dear Skylarks. And that, dear listeners, is going to have to be a secret. So you and my lovely players will get to learn all about that dossier at the same time. So tune in for our next session, which will be our first actual play session. I know this has been a long setup, but I promise you it's going to be worth it. This is going to be a great time. I can't wait to see you then. And until then, whether the dice are rolling in at ones or the narrative is throwing you for a loop, don't forget to just roll with it. Bye-bye now.
Thank you for listening to the GM Turn for Court of Blades. It certainly seems like Corey's put some amazing thought and care into the world, and I'm certainly excited to jump into it and see what mischief we can get up to. Hopefully you found this enjoyable or helpful, as this is our first foray into an episode with only one cast member, and we do want to do more things like this more often. Though they were not in the episode, for obvious reasons, I do still want to thank Saintgard and Estany for joining us for this game. You can find Saintgard on Twitter at Saintgardly, and on Twitch at Saintgard. And you can find Estany on Twitter and Twitch at Estany. You can find us at RollWithItAP on Twitter, Instagram, Ko-fi, Redbubble, Tumblr, and WordPress, where we'll post updates about the podcast and transcriptions of the episode for accessibility purposes. You can find me, Peter, at The Chaotic Super on Tumblr. You can find Corey at InvulnerableTide on Twitter, The Invulnerable Tide on Instagram and itch.io, and at TheInvulnerableTide.com. And you can find Kelsey at Islander Escaper on Twitter, Ko-fi, itch.io, and Instagram. Music by Aider41 from Pixabay. All these links will be in the description box for your ease, and on behalf of the entire Just Roll With It team, I hope that you come back next time to see us finally get into this game and see how the Skylarks cause havoc, lend their aid to Illyrian.